Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. This is Carol Knier, Way Memorial Community Health Manager, wishing you a great day and thank you for listening. So it is May, and May is National Safety Water Month, and I have a returning guest. I have Susie Casper. Good morning, Susie.
Hi, thank you for having me again.
Oh, we were just talking before we pressed record, and Susie has been, I think, on my show. This is probably the third or fourth year. Well, it'd probably be the third, because I've only been in this position for 3 years. So.
Yeah, I did it before your time, I think, once. Yeah.
Yes, when Donna was in this position. So for those of you that don't know, Susie is a park ranger, and can you tell us where you're from? Because it's different than we talked about the Delaware Water Gap. You are from the...
I'm from Upper Delaware Scenic and Recreational River. So our jurisdiction, we're basically where the confluence of the East and the West Branch of the river come together in Hancock, New York. And then so we go for about 73.4 miles to at the number 2 railroad bridge in the little town called Sparrowbush, just above Port Jervis. So we're a very long park.
You are. You are. And you... You know, 73 miles, you said?
73.4.
Got to get the point exact, four in. Well. Exactly. And so, you know, you're one of the park rangers that kind of cover that area, but you also have a team that you work with, right? But one thing that I found interesting is last year when we did our show, it was a little different because of COVID. COVID was very active. COVID is still around now. But what amazed me is... Tell our listeners the difference in the amount of people that visited the area from 2019 to 2020.
Yeah, so if you live here in Wayne, Pike, Sullivan counties, you visibly saw that we had an influx of people that came and stayed and then, you know, just came and visited for the, especially during the warm summer months when you couldn't do anything really inside because everything was really shut down. So, you know, if you can't do anything outside, everybody flocked to our national parks. Not only the national parks, just anywhere outside where you could be with your friends and your family and, you know, not have to have that mask on or what have you. But our visitation last summer, when we had our last interview last year, we really just didn't know what was going to happen. It could have either been we're going to have a lot of visitors or we're going to have maybe not a lot of visitors because people were, there were stay-at-home orders at this point. But what we saw in our statistics from 2019 versus 2020 was an incredible increase. And so our staff that works at our river accesses talked to almost 20,000 more people than they did the year prior. And we didn't have any increased staffing or anything like that. So let's just say everybody was a little tired at the end of the season. And this is just between Memorial Day and Labor Day. That's when we keep those specific statistics. So it was really incredible.
Well, kudos to your staff, really, because when you talk about that a number of increase and not having the staff to increase, that is really hard to do.
Yeah, they did a fantastic job. I mean, keeping their cool and keeping everybody safe was, you know, the most important thing.
Right. And then statistically, you know, we often talk about the number of drownings, which is not a good topic, but how was it last year?
So we were very lucky on the Upper Delaware. We did not have any drownings last summer. So we're still at 69 when we started keeping records in 1980, but that's 69 too many.
Right.
And so we were very lucky, but we did have quite a few close calls where we had rangers. I mean, very luckily for both parties at the right spot at the right time where we were able to pull people just right up out of the water.
Mm-hmm. And that's really important because what is the number one reason someone drowns?
They're just not wearing a life jacket.
Right.
Yeah. And it seems so simple and so easy, but folks, you know, they go for a swim or a dip in the river and they just don't realize that it's wearing a life jacket is something you should do because most people, they're good swimmers. But they, you know, when you're in a moving water environment, like on the Delaware River, it's just a whole nother ball of wax. And so you just have to have that life jacket on. Even if you have it, you know, then you're just floating and enjoying the river. It's just so much more relaxing.
Right, right. And again, that it saves people's lives. You know, no one who drowned was wearing, you know, they're not wearing life jacket.
You're exactly right. We've never had anybody drown on the Upper Delaware River wearing a properly secured, Coast Guard approved life jacket.
Right. And that's really important. And I know, you know, this is still pending. We talked about this about life jacket rentals or borrowing from the from your the National Park Services, but that's still pending. You still have to wait for the approval for that.
So last summer we did because of COVID, we did an assessment, a risk assessment tool. It comes all the way from Washington from the top to say, you know, are you going to be able to do something safely or not? And so what was the risk of spreading COVID higher than the risk of drowning? And so unfortunately we determined that it was. And so the Loner Life Jacket stations did not go out last summer just because the spread was so high.
Right.
So actually, you know, we'll doing the same thing again. And it's, of course, to the safety of our staff as well. Don't forget that these life jackets have to be rotated through. They would have to be sanitized. So we have to certainly make sure we keep our staff safe as well. Because if, you know, one person gets COVID, potentially the whole crew gets shut down. So that's something really, it's just like in the wildland fire community, you know, you have your crew of people and you all have to, you know, be together all the time. So if somebody gets COVID, well, then there's going to be nobody to help,
right?
You know,
right.
Do all the rescues out in the river. So it's just really important we keep them safe as well. So we're going to do that assessment and hopefully it will, you know, we'll be able to determine when, if and when we can put those life jackets out. That being said, you know, life jackets are fairly inexpensive. So if you guys, you know, if you and your family come out to the river, just make sure you guys have them. And of course, make sure you wear them.
Right, right. And if someone's renting a kayak or a boat, most of those companies will provide them.
Absolutely. And then children 12 and under always have to be wearing them at all times when they're on the river. But it's, you know, it's the parents that we have to get in the mindset of setting a good example.
Right.
For those
children. Exactly.
And also too, because, you know, the river has such a swift moving current. If something happens to your child and they, let's just say, jump in overboard or go overboard for whatever reason, you have to be able to, you know, get them back. And if you can't save yourself, you're not going to be able to save them either. So it's really important to keep them safe.
Right. I do feel when I'm out there on a kayak, I always feel safer with a life jacket because it will. Anything can happen. So can you tell us, we talked about some river access points. Do you have a couple of them offhand where they are?
Oh, yeah. So there's river accesses all along the Delaware, you know, all the way from up in Hancock down to, like I said, Sparrow Bush is the access at the end of our jurisdiction. But some of them, so we do co-manage them with the New York State DEC and the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission. So we have one in Lackawaxen. We're right at the Zane Grey Museum. It's one of our big popular launches. There's accesses in Narrowsburg, 10 Mile River. They're really spotted all across the river valley.
Okay.
And the Mongop access down just above Port Jervis, it's maybe about, I think, 7-8 miles away, was a very popular access last summer. And the visitation to that access increased by over 5,000 people just at that spot alone last summer. Wow. So there was not a parking spot to be had.
And speaking of, you know, visitations, you're probably expecting as many, if not maybe even more this year, too. So what are the guidelines with, you know, mask wearing, you know, at these sites?
So I'm glad you mentioned that. So most people have probably heard the presidential proclamation. There is a federal mask mandate in place. So if you are on federal land or in a federal building, you have to be wearing your mask. So the building mandate goes across the board. So if you're in a federal building, you have to wear a mask. But if it's when you are on federal land or a co-managed property, like we're mentioning the accesses, if you cannot maintain social distancing without the folks in your group, you have to have a mask on. So if you and your family are heading out for the day and you're, you know, getting ready to launch your boats and there's, you know, a lot of people around, you have to have your masks on during that time. And then once you get on the river and you're with your core group, then you don't have to have them.
Right, right. And if you're around and maybe you're eating lunch, but you're far enough away from people.
As long as you can maintain that 6-foot social distance, you'll be just fine.
Okay, great. Another thing we talked about is, you know, we are in May, but the weather has really not been very warm.
It's been a little chilly.
Right? So the water temperature is pretty cold out there, correct?
Yeah, the water temperature has been, it's been anywhere between 54 degrees on a very warm day. It goes up a little bit, but then we have, you know, we've been having nights down in the 20s and 30s. So the water temperature is pretty cold. I mean, it's not too much colder than it normally is this time of the year, but, you know, if you head out on Memorial Day weekend and, you know, you put your hand in that water, it's going to be pretty cold. So it's really important. We're out of the mandatory cold water wear regulations that ended on April 30th, but really, even if it's a nice hot day, you're going to really want to wear that life jacket, because if you do fall in or jump in inadvertently or boat flips, the cold water can be very shocking. And, you know, we do see a lot of drownings in those cold water, the winter months or early spring months. It's unfortunate. So
when someone goes out in the river, what should they prepare? Should they have hydration, water, you know, extra clothes?
Oh, yeah. So definitely. And the National Park Service, and we talked about this last year, but there's the hashtag Recreate Responsibly initiative that's going on. And it's just, it's really important because, especially during COVID, you don't want to especially go out and do a new activity. Say you maybe never been on the river before. You want to definitely really plan and prepare because if something does happen to you or, you know, somebody in your party, it's, you know, the search and rescue team is going to have to come out. And so now you're bringing a lot of different players into, you know, one place during, you know, we're still during a pandemic. So, it's really just the National Park Service, the Recreate Responsibly Initiative. Visit their website. There's a lot of great information that will help you plan. So whether you're going out on the river here, going for a hike, visiting, you know, the Grand Canyon, really a lot of those tips are super important. But on the river specifically, you know, those life jackets, most important thing, but always having food and water with you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks just in appropriate clothing. So, I mean, even in the middle of the summer, we have storms that pass through and it gets cold. You don't have a dry change of clothes, you're going to be pretty chilly and, you know, maybe get into some trouble. It's hard to believe that you can become hypothermic in the middle of the summer, but it happens often.
So it does.
Just having, you know, a little bit more than what you would think you would need for the day, food, water. You know, people don't think, oh, I don't, maybe I'm on the water, I wouldn't need my EpiPen, but we have bees, believe me, you know, or whatever kind of, you know, there's all kinds of plants that can, you know, cause allergic reactions and things like that. So making sure you just have what you need for the day and maybe a little extra will help you have a safe trip.
Okay. So do you have a website or a Facebook page?
Yes.
Instagram, right?
Yes, we have both. So our website, and just the easiest thing would be to visit our website. And our Facebook and Instagram information is on there. It's nps.gov/UPDE. And so that stands for Upper Delaware. Every park has their 4-letter acronym. And so our Facebook and Instagram stuff is on there as well.
Okay, great. And I know you can find really, really good information. Okay. So we only have about 2 minutes left. You know, overall, I mean, people should be able to have fun on the river, but the best part is there is safety there. There's still safety rules that everyone needs to really follow. Any last words for our listening audience that you want to share with us?
Just when you guys head out on the water or even near the water, it doesn't have to be on the river, but anytime you're recreating, you know, on a lake, on a pond, just make sure you guys are aware of your surroundings. Make sure you have, you know, teaching the kids good lessons. It's super important to instill that in them in a young age.
Okay. Now, what happens if someone is on the river and they have an emergency? Is there a number? Do they call 911?
So if you have cell phone service, yeah, you can call 911. That'll, you know, link directly to our dispatch. And that is the important thing about, you know, the recreating responsibly is that there's not cell phone service, you know, throughout the River Valley. So being as prepared as you can is the most important thing.
Right. And that's really important, you know, even keeping your phone in a plastic bag just in case, right?
Yeah. Well, and a lot of folks think that just a plastic bag will work. But, you know, on the river, if your boat gets submerged, having a dry bag, and they sell all this stuff at Walmart, but it's something that actually seals everything up really tight.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't tell you the amount of iPhones we pull out of the river every year because they're in just a Ziploc bag. That doesn't work. It's got to be in a watertight container, whatever that may be. Yeah, really important.
Well, that gave me an idea to go out and buy one.
Definitely.
Because, yeah.
And most of this river, right. So you know, 20 years ago, it was very expensive. Now, this stuff is pretty inexpensive. And if you buy one dry bag, it's probably going to last you your life
forever.
If you take care of it, just
forever.
Like your life jacket for sure.
Right. So you also recommend, too, is, you know, people to check out the water conditions, too, before they go out,
definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
Are there times where people really should not be on a river?
Oh, absolutely. So we have a 24-hour river hotline that we update daily, and especially, you know, during the summer months. So that number is 845-252-7100. And that will give you the basic river conditions. And then, of course, if we do have a high water event, we've had flooding in the middle of the summer. And yeah, so anytime the river does rise over 6 feet in height. Now, our normal level for the river is anywhere between 3, 4, 5 feet. But once it gets over that 6-foot threshold, we do have a mandatory life jacket where that is required. And then at that 6-foot threshold, the river gets really pushy. I mean, real and very dangerous. So if you are not an experienced whitewater paddler, you really shouldn't be out there. So just making sure you have that, you know, all before you head out, make sure you have that information beforehand.
Okay, great. Well, I, you know, we probably could talk for another 15 for minutes. Sure. Unfortunately, we're out of time. So for those of you that might have just caught the last end, I had Susie Casper. She's a park ranger for the Upper Delaware SNRR area, which stands for...
Scenic and Recreational River.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time,
Thank Susie. You so much for having me. Have a safe summer, everyone.
Oh, thank you. And again, this is Carol Knier, Wayne Memorial Community Health Manager, wishing you a great day, and thank you for listening.